stood teasing and mocking him, and telling him I would look out for every atom of conceit on the morrow and squash it immediately. The next morning, we went into chapel and sat right in the front. Victor Richardson, the third of Uppingham's three musketeers, and then Edward led up the choir, both looking fine and impressive figures. The service was wonderful. When I hear the boys' voices and think of all the memories and associations connected with the school, I can understand perfectly why Edward regrets leaving it so much. When chapel was over, we all went up to the middle field to see the corps reviewed. Edward is now a lance sergeant, Roland a colour sergeant, one or two degrees higher. About 350 belonged to the corps. They were a fine sight as they stood for the headmaster to inspect them. The headmaster stalked up the hall very majestically for the prize-giving. He made quite a short speech, giving the precepts left for the boys by a great Japanese general. I forget his name, but I know the climax was that if a man could not be useful to his country, he was better dead. After the speech, he gave away the prizes, most glorious books in the Uppingham binding. Roland received only a very average amount of applause. Edward says he is not a bit popular because very few people understand him and merely think him haughty and conceited. Also, he shows his feelings so little that one might imagine him to have no emotions. But I think I know better. I said goodbye to him with more indifference than I felt. I could not help wondering whether and when I shall see him again. He seems, even in a short acquaintance, to share both my faults and my talents and my ideas in a way I have never found anyone else do yet.
Dear Vera, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed the 2 days you were here. They stand out as an oasis in an otherwise commonplace and uninteresting term. You will let me know how you've got on in your exam, won't you? I suppose I shall not see you again until October at Oxford, unless you happen to be in the neighbourhood of Lowestoft. I am sorry that you and my mother have not yet met each other. Would it be quite impossible for Edward to bring you with him when he comes? I suppose so. It is a great pity.
I wish I could have met Mrs. Layton. I should like to run the gauntlet of her criticism, even though it were unflattering. But I don't think I ought to accompany Edward to Lowestoft, because I am sure that one of us at a time would be quite enough for your mother. As she has never seen me, there is no guarantee that she would like me. She might detest me. I know one or two women who do. I am afraid that after all you will not see me at Oxford in October. The results do not come out until the end of August, but I do not need to be told them. I wish I had not been given an exhibition now, as it is far more annoying to have one and be made to give it up because one has failed the university entrance and never to have had it.
Uppingham, 29th of July, 1914, 5:15 a.m. I am at present terribly rushed in an endeavour to get everything packed and to say goodbye to everyone before going off to camp with Edward and Richardson at 8:55. I am sorry if what you say about your exam is really true, but I shall not give up hoping to see you at Oxford this October until I know for certain that you have not passed. You are probably taking much too black of you, after all. But please don't be too melancholy and depressed, will you?
Diary, 3rd of August, 1914. Today has been far too exciting to enable me to feel at all like sleep. In fact, it is one of the most thrilling I have ever lived through. That which has so long been anticipated by some and scoffed at by others has come to pass at last. Armageddon in Europe. On Saturday evening, Germany declared war upon Russia and also started advancing upon the French frontier. Yesterday, the Germans attacked France without declaring war. The great fear now is that our bungling government will declare England's neutrality. If we, at this critical juncture, were to refuse to help our friend France, we should be guilty of the grossest treachery and sacrifice our credit forever. 4th of August, 1914. Late as it is, I must make some effort to chronicle the stupendous events of this remarkable day. The situation is absolutely unparalleled in the history of the world. It is estimated that when war begins, 14 millions of men will be engaged in the conflict. Attack is possible by earth, water, and air, and the destruction attainable by the modern war machines is unthinkable and past imagination. Every hour brings fresh and momentous events, and one must stand still and await catastrophes each even more.